Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, February 13th, 2025. It's time for your TNA Impact post-show. Wait, where are the other guys? What happened to the Ring of Honor post-show?
They're on a cruise.
Oh, that's right. I'm sure it was lovely. Maybe the internet was just not good. Ours is fine. Theirs is non-existent. So,
because they're out to sea. They're splish splash.
I thought that was taking a bath.
I mean, you can take a bath in the ocean if you're brave.
Ugh, a lot of salt in that ocean. I don't know if that's something you want to do.
For a wrestling fan, it'd be an improvement.
Oh, that's a low blow, even for you.
I stink too, so.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't showered in a couple of days. Anyway, let's not talk about it because you don't have smell-o-vision, so none of y'all even know what we're talking about. TNA Impact Post Show. It's, like I said, February 13th, 2025. We're on our way to a lot of different shows. A live show next week for Impact, and then we go to Sacrifice March 15th, and then after that they just announced TNA Unbreakable. That's going to be April 17th, and then 10 days later is TNA Rebellion. There's a lot coming up in the next few weeks. We're going to break it down and a whole lot more. You know who I am. If you don't, it's on the Chiron underneath. And also, you know who she is, but also I get to say it's the wonderful Matt Minarvelous.
That's me.
Cressa Star, how you doing?
I'm doing fantabulous. Happy Mother Valentine's Day, because the day you take out your mom, so it doesn't get crazy. You take your wife out, your significant other out tomorrow, and then your side chick on the 15th.
Like, take her out?
I mean,
Gat? Like, what are we talking about here?
Not just saying Gat. Come on. Yo, Joe Bro, you're a gangster. Gang.
Even I didn't want to go there.
I'll go there every time because I'm what? Immature.
I don't even know what we're doing here. I'm so thrown off by us having 5 minutes before we went live to actually like get the sillies out that I don't even know how to feel.
Listen, we got this. If you guys are tuning in and you're just getting this, hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Joe Pearl and I are here to make you laugh and discuss TNA.
Is that, yeah, we're going to do that? Okay, we can do that.
I was trying to help you, you know, segue into it. I'll do the whole thing. I'll do your job.
No, no, it's fine. I do my job. It's okay. I do it relatively well. You drop a super chat and any amount, get your question or statement right on the air. You can also go to humperchats.com. Since you already do that part, I'd like you to do that part as well. If you don't mind, go ahead.
Listen, Joel Pearl is the best. And if you want to tell Joel Pearl is the best, you're going to go over to humperchats.com. HUMPERCHATS. We get to keep, .com. We get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds. It makes me happy, Sean Rossap happy, Joel Pearl happy. And we'll read your comment or question on air. Like, why Joel Pearl is the best? A dissertation by you, humperchats.com.
You know, the more you write, the better it sounds. So go ahead. Humperchats.com, or just donate a super chat, whichever. I don't care. Just speak to our greatness. Cresta, another day has come and gone, and Ricardo has already upset me because his super chat reads, "Hello, Miss Cresta and Joel." Hi, Ricardo.
Listen, Joel Pearl is fantastic. Everyone gives him stuff, but honestly, if I became rich and famous, Joel Pearl would be part of my entourage.
Oh, I would accept that. Absolutely. I'd join that. Can I be your press secretary?
Yeah, I'll pay you.
All right.
On time.
Makes me wonder if Mustafa Ali's paying his people on time. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Paid?
this is a strictly volunteer position. We'll get to that. TNA Impact, what did you think tonight of tonight's show?
There were high moments, but I personally feel this is just me and I don't care. It was a show. It came, it went, it was good. There were things I was surprised at in a way like, I didn't think you would do that, but nothing negative. It's just like, it was a show. How did you think about it, Joel Pearl?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think there was some strong stuff. I think there was, maybe I expected more just because we were talking about last week how stacked the card was. The matches were good. The matches lived up mostly to the expectation. But then there was some stuff where I was like, okay, this is just the way it's going. And again, you've got a live show next week. You've got a plus special, and then you've got another plus special. You've got a lot coming up leading into a pay-per-view at the end of April. So there's enough going on that, you know, they're on the road. But the big announcement tonight was, as I mentioned at the top of the show, TNA Unbreakable is April 17th at the Cox Pavilion in Las Vegas. That's the Thursday of WrestleMania week. That's 10 days before TNA Rebellion. What I think it is, and we're waiting for confirmation from TNA, is it is a plus special, as they've advertised, and it's not replacing Impact for that week. I feel, and I'm, again, waiting for confirmation, Impact will air from its normal time slot, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, and then because they're on the West Coast, they'll go live after that because the times would match up for East Coast viewing. What does that mean for us? It means you're not getting a TNA Unbreakable review. I'm sorry.
No, I agree with that. I'm already kicking myself about the Collision review this Saturday after the NBA game, which is going to start at 12, and our review show won't start till like 1, 2 in the morning.
Yeah, it's tough, man. We might, as we always do, we try to, you know, put everything into the next show that we do. So if it's going to be, you know, Unbreakable is the 17th, then the next week we'll talk about it and it'll lead us into Rebellion, I'm sure. I'm curious to how they build this show. I don't expect it to be a massive event, but I've been wrong before. It just feels like 10 days before Rebellion, you want to do something, but maybe not do too much. And also, it's good that they're going to take some of their talent that are already in town for WrestleMania week and work them on a TNA card. I'm a little curious about working Cox Pavilion, which is on the University of Las Vegas campus, effectively. It's near Thomas and Mack Center. It's attached to it. It's about a 10-minute drive away from the Strip. So it's off Strip far enough. I don't know if that's going to, you know, get people to come or not. Whereas here's where the Cox Pavilion is. And then up here at the top of the Strip, just off the Strip, is Palms, where the Collective is happening. So I don't know how fans are going to choose or what they're logistically planning to do. It's a very curious announcement.
I will say that I'm not upset about it because WrestleMania weekend has now become like a literal week, sometimes up to a week and a half. Some people go from that Monday to that next Monday so you could see all that you can see. So I can understand taking some of the people there who can make it, try to get a display, get eyes on people who maybe would not have taken a look at TNA regardless. I think it might be worth it because if there's nothing, I've seen how much WrestleMania tickets are going. So if I'm spending that much money to go, I'm probably there for the whole week. So if you want to go up and down to explore all there is to explore, I think it's worth going to, especially with the resurgence of TNA. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of, not so much controversy, but there's a lot of things to be excited about TNA. And even if you're just curious, I would say go. And I'm thinking if you're smart, you put Joe Hendry on that show.
Yeah. And again, it's 10 days before the pay-per-view, and I'm curious as to what they're going to do with it. Not that I think you shouldn't work 10 days before a pay-per-view. I'm just wondering, you know, what can you do with Joe Hendry 10 days before the pay-per-view? Do you put him in a tag match? Do you put him in, does he defend his title? And they have ramifications that, you know, if Joe Hendry loses, then obviously the big main event for Rebellion gets changed. There are storyline elements that they're going to have to contend with. And that's why I'm so brain broken about this, because I'm thinking about it from the creative calendar point of view, because that's what I do is creative calendars and just content calendars. They are, and I'm sorry if you're bored by this already, not you specifically, chat, people watching or listening to this. They have tapings that effectively take them that are scheduled right now from next week all the way down to Rebellion. Now you've added a show 10 days before, so that means your creative has to include the build to the Unbreakable card, which is 10 days before Rebellion. So how important is Unbreakable, and what kind of show is it? Is it important? Do you have matches that have ramifications on Rebellion? Do you have basically Rebellion preview type of matches? Kind of like Grand Slam Australia, right? You're going to see the Death Riders versus Cope and Jay White. And then Cope and Mox are going to fight 2 weeks later at Revolution. So do you do something like that with Unbreakable, where two people who are in a match have a tag team match of some sorts that happen at Rebellion? Like what does that look like? But we have a lot of time to get there.
I also think you can do like a runoff situation where like things that don't fit on Rebellion, you fit it on this right beforehand. So like if there's, I don't know what we're doing with this Ali situation. And let's say there's not a match posted for Rebellion. You could do something that postures for Unbreakable and like a leapfrog situation. You do it at Unbreakable, skip Rebellion, and then maybe at the next one, what's is the next one Genesis, or did that happen already? Am I crazy?
Genesis already happened.
There's so many shows, guys, please.
And we're not even, and we haven't even discussed the fact that there's TNA Sacrifice. That's March 15th. So that's first.
And we didn't even talk about the live show that's coming up.
They haven't really announced much other than two matches and the Joe Hendry concert. Another Joe Hendry concert. I have my
I'm not mad. I love Joe Hendry.
I don't love it. I don't. I just don't love it.
I don't care.
Well, fine then. See if I care.
Sorry. I'm delusional.
It's okay. Let's talk about TNA Impact. Since we mentioned Joe Hendry, top of the show, Joe Hendry defeats Jake Something. He put his TNA World title on the line. A good, solid match. Again, you like meaty men. You like this whole thing. I'm more interested as to what happens afterwards and the news that comes from that. But what did you think of Hendry versus Something? Again, just to me, a solid bout, two dudes fighting it. Good time.
After I got gout, because I know how I feel about big, meaty matches, this match was barely an inconvenience for Joe Hendry, I felt like. I thought I was expecting something else. I don't know what I was expecting, but this match, to me, looked like barely an inconvenience for Joe Hendry. Jake Something got a lot of hope spots in. I mean, if there's a stiff forearm on Joe for Jake to get the turnaround in, like, the middle part of the match, but the beginning and the end, I felt Joe Hendry dominated this match. Not mad about it, because I'm a Joe Hendry stan.
Yeah, this was not light work for Hendry. Don't get me wrong, because we know that Jake Something is...
Oh, absolutely.
You know, he's something. Unfortunately, he's also announced that he's injured. And I didn't want to mention it last week because not everyone follows social media to the extent that we do for our work. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, Jake Something says he's stepping away for a little bit to heal whatever injury he has. So we wish him well. This match, to me, then became kind of a no-brainer. But again, Joe Hendry gets the win with the standing ovation. Good, solid match, opening bout on Impact. You want to keep your TNA World Champion not only front and center, but also have him open the show once in a while.
Yeah.
Stop that. Post-match was really where it mattered. Ryan Nemeth comes out and says, "My brother," which is everyone's favorite bit now. Let's face it. You can't not.
It's up there with, "Do you want to know something?"
They just know. They just know how to do it. He does his shtick and says, "My brother's not going to like this match." And then Santino comes out, and then Jake Something goes after Ryan Nemeth. And then Nick Nemeth comes out, and he goes after Jake Something because he went after Ryan Nemeth. And then this all ends with Nick Nemeth accidentally super kicking Santino. May as well fast forward backstage after the break. Santino is upset and he suspends Nick Nemeth for 4 weeks. Well, that seems like a strange amount of time to suspend someone. Crest the star. Why would they do that?
I don't know. I was sports confused as well. So you know something I don't. I was like, well, it's not the Rumble. WrestleMania? I don't know, girl. I don't know.
Nick Nemeth is going to Qatar during the Florida tapings on the 20th and 21st. So that's why. And that covers 4 weeks of tapings for TNA. So he'll be back by sacrifice.
I mean, Ryan Nemeth was like, "Do I still get paid?" And I mean, that's messed up, but that's what the real question
is. I just laughed at that whole shtick. Ryan Nemeth is doing really good work. And we say this, I feel like, every week. But when he just goes back to an angry Santino, just like, "But I still get paid, right?" I love that shit. It was good stuff.
He's the best worst. And I low-key, in my hardest of hearts, want him to be the one working with JBL. I know that's not the case, but wouldn't that be such a dumb swerve? I'd be sports entertained.
Yeah, why did he get knocked out? Collateral damage, but we were faking it.
I had to make it look believable. Why would, like, Bully Ray with aces and eights? I had to make it believable.
I don't want to put this out there. Could you imagine if it's either Rebellion or Slammiversary, they do Nick Nemeth versus JBL? Like, really? Like they're really gonna do this shit? Could you imagine?
Yes. I'm trying not to laugh. Yes, I can imagine. And while I'd be sports infuriated, I'd also be very sports entertained. Because I'd be sports entertained. I hate it.
There is a baked in story with JBL and Nick, and he brought, you know, JBL and Nick have been working together on and off screen. They did it in AAA, and then they came to TNA, and they've been doing this. There is a way you can do it. Sacrifice is going to be in Texas. So you have JBL come out for whatever Nick Nemeth does, maybe that's the turn. And then it's Ryan versus Nick at Rebellion. And then that's going to set up down the road for Nick Nemeth versus JBL at Slammiversary at UBS Arena, because you have a big arena that you maybe want to fill as much as possible. JBL moving tickets, I don't know. But JBL versus the former, like, people are going to be like, guys, Bradshaw versus Dolph Ziggler. Like, your casual friends are going to look at it and be like, huh, that could be fun.
I'm thinking Ryan Nemeth versus Nick Nemeth at Unbreakable to lead it up to, you could do that.
Do a tag match, Nick Nemeth and a friend versus, well, I don't think JBL's going to, I think JBL's, if he does a match, is just one match. Don't know why.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you could have the Nemeth brothers versus each other at Unbreakable, and then maybe Nick versus JBL at Rebellion.
Seems a little too quick. I think I would do a pay-per-view to pay-per-view.
Okay, that's fair.
Because the JBL match feels like a big event.
Like a big deal, yeah.
And Nick and Ryan has been happening long enough that I think fans of TNA would be invested in watching it on a pay-per-view undercard match.
Okay. There's, I can see it.
There's space for it. Again, Ryan Nemeth is doing some of the best work as a heel that he's ever done, arguably. And Nick's on the cusp of either becoming a real POS heel or continuing down the babyface that people seem to still like, which is great. And you can have him best his brother, or his brother cheats, and it all goes on from there. I don't know what it would look like, but now we're just spitballing. But that's something I was thinking about, is how do you effectively tell that story between JBL and the Nemeths?
Yeah, I think there needs to be some sort of resolution. We'll see. We'll let it play out.
Yes. Oh, letting it play out is such a 2019. Anyway, the Elegance is defeat the King Bees. And it took about as long as it took for me to say the Elegance. Quick match. Heather by Elegance hits a Spanish fly off springboard top rope for the win. Post match is really the Elegance try to humiliate the King Bees, and out comes Spitfire having a post match, you know, saving of the King Bees. Spitfire, Elegance says it's going to happen. They're going to take the tag titles off of, you know what I'm trying to say. Thing I've been saying for the last 3 months, Spitfire is going to lose the tag titles.
I mean, I came into this with the mind that this is going to be an enhancement match. Let's enhance these girls. But the King Bees were really, really good. Like, they got the, what I like to call the TNA enhancement treatment, where the TNA let you wrestle. They really give you your time and your moment. And I really have to say, Heather Reckless, Heather by Elegance, she was doing a lot of work that match. This match was fine. I would like to see the King Bees back in TNA. I think that'd be a nice addition to their Knockouts division, and it would give you someone besides Frankenteam, and then their new challenger, Frankenteam, and then Team. So I think it'd be cute if that's someone they're interested in. Also, you know how I feel about Elegance's winning the tag title, so Joel, don't put that juju on me, okay?
Well, the good news is the King Bees are coming off of NWA, where they were also women's tag team champions there. So they have a pedigree. I can feel how you will about the NWA. They're still a product that people are following, and they did capture those women's tag titles. So if the King Bees are potentially, you know, an option for TNA, or if TNA is trying to load up the Knockouts tag division without bringing in just two random people and pairing them up, then these two are good. And again, if both members of King Bees can work a single style effectively, then you have two more wrestlers for the Knockouts division when you need it.
Yeah, and I think someone like that, just to rebuild the Knockouts tag division, bring back the Hex too, if they're free, you know, that's already like 3-4 teams you now have in there. And like you said, Spitfire is something I ache in them to the bar. It worked out. You guys were single competitors, and it worked out swimmingly. So I'm not mad at Ash and Heather by Elegance being in the tag division. I just think, if you want a more robust, so it doesn't feel very formulaic, because I feel like the next two random girls that get together is going to be your next tag champions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Savannah Evans and Tasha Steelz.
Oh, you mean Cabinet Chair and Secret Service?
You bet.
We're right back at it, boys. We never left.
The Hardys approach Leon Slater. They put him over. It's a big endorsement. But later on is really what's more important. JDC sits down next to Leon Slater, says he disagrees with the Hardys, and says Leon's not good. And then he just keeps repeating himself, you're making a career out of your potential. And it's almost as if JDC forgot what he was trying to say, but he just keeps repeating it and repeating it. And Leon is just getting more frustrated. And so eventually he says he'll face JDC again, calls him a ballroom dancer, which then turns JDC into a monster, starts pushing and shoving. And then Slater says, I want no DQ. So that's going to be next week. But did you notice who was standing in the background at the end of that Toll segment?
I did not.
Old Cody Deaner, Mr. Positivity himself. So get ready for that.
You know what I was thinking in my mind when you said that? Besides when in the beginning match where people were just spawning, people were just spawning in segments tonight. That was for real. But can you imagine, because I can, if you will, Mr. Positivity, Cody Deaner, being the reason why the system breaks up?
Could you imagine Cody Deaner joining the system?
Go to the next segment, Joel.
The Mustafa Ali Town Hall is next. The good hands are now the great hands, and press secretary Tasha Steeles is here, and she's all dolled up. She's looking like a press secretary. Ali says he's the rightful contender for the world title. Do you agree? And the only people who say yes are the great hands and Tasha Steeles. And then Dreamer walks up, and I'm like, oh no, what are we gonna do here? And I love that Ali starts running down Dreamer, being like, you're the guy, are you the dude, what are you talking about? And Dreamer's just like, no, actually, that's the guy. And he just points off into the middle of nowhere, and it's Santana on his phone. And he's like, what? This is great. Again,
I'm not going to hold you. That was fantastic. Because like you said, it was just
Huh? It's like he wasn't even paying attention to anything. He just knows. Santana just knows.
He is the most serious, unserious wrestler in TNA. Because I believe that he would beat you up, but I also believe that he's going to make faces and memes the whole time.
He just doesn't care. But Ali versus Santana is on the docket. Don't know when. Do you do it at Rebellion? Do you do it before then? Is this a sacrifice match? What's the plan? When do you do it?
I don't care where. That's going to be phenomenal. Ali versus Mike Santana, that can have no plot. I don't care. I want that. That's like if they say you want sides with your meat. No. I don't care if they argue about nothing. That match is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm certain that it'll be a number one contendership, or at least like the winner will have some sort of, say to the world champion. I don't know how it goes down. Again, you have to get to July for Santana. If Ali gets the first one, he can lose. Ali's lost matches before, but it feels like, do you want to cut off that so quickly? Have him beat Santana? That would be Santana's first loss in TNA in singles match. So that would be a big deal.
There's also a dirty finish. Kazarian is still lurking around with that damn trophy. So, and I think what keeps it in that situation, what'll keep it interesting is between Kazarian having that trophy, and not saying that the X Division will be cashed in by Moose, but I could definitely see Moose putting that into the ocean. Like, I don't want to wrestle this person. I don't want to wrestle this person. And in order for me to get back to the main event, I feel like I could beat so-and-so. So I'm going to beat this person before this person comes in, because who wants to wrestle Mike Santana? I don't, because I don't want to get beat up.
I love this. Santana will molly whip you for 10 minutes while teaching you how to bake tiramisu from scratch.
And the best worst part is he's from New York, so the whole time he's going to be insulting you with love, like, oh, you hear me, stupid? Hey, you not listening? Hey, pay attention.
He just smacks you in the back of the head each time.
Hey, that's too much coffee. You wasted it. Your grandmother was spanking. Hey, pay attention. You'd make the best tiramisu under threat.
You mentioned Frankie Kazarian. He faces Sammy Callahan, but not before Sammy gets knocked out by Mance Warner before the match. Referee checks on him. Sammy says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to beat him up. And then Kazarian beats him with the chicken wing. And then after the match, Sammy calls out Mance Warner. They brawl at ringside. This is a sacrifice match, and it will probably be a hardcore match of some sorts. I'm not against it. I think it'll be fun. I just want to get to the plunder match already between old Mancer and Sammy, where Mance beats the shit out of Sammy Callahan in his first official TNA match.
I'm glad you're excited about that, because I know how both these men give it up. I don't want that.
You're going to see some people bleed in that match.
disgusting.
GM Miller's backstage with Josh Alexander. Says he hates to have his last match against Eric Young, but it's about respect, and Josh is going to show the world how much TNA means to him by laying it all on the line and proving that TNA is the best place on earth. It's a good promo. They're making a big deal out of this being Josh's last match in TNA. His contract is, well, he's officially a free agent in 2 days, like one day, I guess, if you go an hour from now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't know where he goes. I know that there is speculation about him going to NXT, going to AEW, going to New Japan Pro Wrestling. He said he wants to work the G1. That's the dream. Meanwhile, NXT has to work on their men's division. Meanwhile, AEW is always an opportunity because that's where some people want to go, because it's where the best wrestle, and he is one of the best wrestlers out there. Either way, I do enjoy the fact that TNA and Josh Alexander are doing this in an amicable way and not in a let's just get this over with type of mentality.
No, absolutely. And in a perfect world, I would love to see Josh Alexander do G1 and all of that stuff before he settles down anywhere. Just personal opinion, as someone who covers AEW, I would hate for him to go to AEW and kind of get lost in that upper echelon shuffle. And the mid card is kind of stuffed as well. Ricky Starks versus Josh Alexander. Hey, sign me up. I'm here for that. I will always be one of the people, because I didn't get to see the North. And now seeing Josh Alexander and what I see, what he's given to TNA, he's a fantastic wrestler. I would love, for me personally, selfishly speaking, to see some sort of North reunion. That would be fantastic. But before he does any of that, go do your New Japan stuff, baby. Because I think, like, right now, like North American promotions, their whole upper card is stacked. And I think it's a good time to be a wrestler, but everyone is so talented. So
when with the possibility of Jeff Cobb leaving New Japan, that opens a space for a guy like Josh Alexander. Yes, different builds, but both are very well respected for the way that they wrestle. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be a good potential replacement for the time being for New Japan. But again, I don't know if Josh wants to be away from his family for that long. I'm sure that they could do it. But again, it's entirely up to them. They have all the cards and there's all the potential. There's also a possibility that TNA decides to pick him up again. They have talked about that. He would be open to that. But right now, the whole idea is that he's testing a free agency, wants to see what the market's like. If it works, great. If it doesn't, then he could just go.
There's a lot of matches. Josh Alexander versus Brody King I would die of meat poisoning. What's that? Let's say you have too much meat. Is that not beyond gout, super gout? That'd be me. That'd be such a good match. Super gout, yeah.
Super gout. What would that? Anyway, it's not important. Super gout. my
already got the.
What's your superpower? My big toe hurts. Like, what do you want?
My superpower is to eat a million milligrams of salted meat in a single gobble. I can watch 30-minute. Where's the Big E at? I don't see no 30-minute classics.
Let me show you to the best chopped liver in New York.
Come on now. There's a content creator named Best Gout Machine, and I want to steal his moniker.
Of course there is. Of course there is. Everyone's just one keystroke away from having their best idea.
That's true. Same thing with wrestling. You're one promo and gimmick away from being someone's favorite wrestler.
Are you Cora Jade's favorite? She defeated Zaya Brookside tonight. Pretty typical back and forth 6-minute match. Not the prettiest fluidity. They had chemistry, but there were some moments where it was not as clean. Cora Jade loves this out on her feet sell job. When she gets kicked in the head, she does the whole stumble around like I'm done, you know? And then she hits Jaded and she gets the win over Zaya Brookside. Cora Jade versus Masha Slamovich is certainly a match that they're building towards, possibly at Sacrifice, possibly sooner. But this is just a match. Zaya Brookside's on the back burner for 1 week, and then eventually she'll come back at it. What do you think of Jade and Brookside?
I will say the work that Cora Jade did, that suplex, was really clean from Cora. But I don't know. Wrestling with apathy just doesn't do it for me. I'm not going to hold you. I don't know how else to describe it like that. I get it's her gimmick, but it's kind of like, wake up. I don't know. Just wrestling with apathy don't do it for me. That's my personal thing.
Did the thing.
I mean, she's really pretty. She's giving Sindel from Mortal Kombat before she got married to Shao Kahn.
Sure. Anyway, speaking of apathy, Santino is stepping in to stop bullying from Tessa Blanchard. She doesn't want to work. Like, she doesn't want to answer questions about her allegations from the past. So Tessa has a match next week on the Impact live from Florida. And I really hope it's not against an NXT wrestler. Anything to talk about?
Santino wilds out on Tessa and says she'll be in a match next week.
Santino was fantastic in this one. And I very rarely give Santino his flowers. But he did angry, upset dad really well. It's like he was pulling from something.
It's just Ariana sitting there in the back like, wow, my dad is mad at someone and it's not me. And while this is funny, I'm glad it's not me for a change.
Yep. Anyway, that's the segment. Santino was great and Ariana was also good. The Rascals come out. They call out Wesley, Tyson, and Tyreek from NXT. And Wesley, of course, who's from NXT, but also originally from TNA. So I was talking about this on In the Weeds. By the way, check out In the Weeds 5 days a week over on Fightful Overbooked. That's our sister channel. Myself, Jeremy Lambert, sometimes SB3, talk about wrestling. But anyway, it's a morning show. Go watch it. I get so confused and turned around about who Wesley works for because I am so used to Dez from the Rascals. And now that his hair is back to the way it looked when he was wrestling as Dez from the Rascals, I am so confused as to where he works. Where does he work?
And NXT, because I wasn't really... See, I know the difference because I came at the very end of that. So I know that he doesn't go here anymore. And low-key, they also kind of drag it. They make it a point that he used to be here. It's like, bro, he don't go here no more.
True.
Fuck that guy.
Wes, Tyson, and Tyreek, I love this. They decided they want to go after the treehouse. They want all that weed, baby. No other way around it.
I mean, share. I mean,
Hey, man. Trey Miguel told me everyone pitches the Rascals as to what they could do to join in the Treehouse segment.
I mean, honestly, it's quite funny because if you have ever, as I colloquially call it on my stream, Rob Van Dam, it's quite funny. So, you know, I can imagine the pitches that people have for that. Whether or not they make it to TV or not is entirely, you know, up to TNA.
Ace Austin comes out to distract before this thing turns into a brawl. Wes, Tyson, and Tyreek get the upper hand with some dick-punching madness. Wes hits cardiac kick on Ace Austin, and they're going to go find the treehouse, which, if anyone knows where it is, it's Wes, right?
You know, I draw a lot of inspiration from things. I was still confused, like, why are you guys going to go burn down the treehouse? Like, that's so mean, but it's about sending a message. I no longer have fun. I have to go straight edge. Screw you guys. So if I can't have none, you can't have none because I am what? A hater.
Nice. There is a theory that I have. Not an Austin theory. That's Saturday night.
A game. Sorry.
What?
Wait. You've never seen that YouTube series?
Which one?
And that's just a theory. A game theory.
Oh, no. I've never. No, never. Not. No. What's
offline? Guys, play a role in the comments.
I watch cooking channels and like Mario Maker streamers and stuff.
If you like Mario Maker, he does theories like we fantasy book, like how Five Nights at Freddy lore, stuff like that. And this actually means this, but that's just a theory. When we're done here, I'm sending you links. You have homework.
I don't have time for this. Got a child. Anyway, here's
that's fair.
I can use that. I can still use that distraction. Worked well today because it was a snow day. Anyway, got to see the aquarium. It was nice. So Tyson and Tyreek, I think, are going to win the NXT Tag Team Championships. I think they're going to be Fraxium. A lot of people are thinking it's the Hardys. It's going to be I don't think it's them. I think Fraxium will drop it to Tyson and Tyreek. I think Wes is not long for the heel route. I think eventually Tyson and Tyreek are going to turn on Wes. And Wes is going to come back to his brothers in the Rascals. And either it's going to be Wes is away from the tag division or he rejoins and MSK wins the tag titles from Tyson and Tyreek or the Rascals do. So in other words, Wes and Wentz either win together or Trey and Wentz win together. Trey and Wes would be crazy, but I don't think they'll do that. That's where I think it's going. And then the Rascals become, or MSK, become the first TNA people to hold NXT gold. But I think Tyson and Tyreek are going to beat Fraxium rather handily sometime soon.
My only nitpick with that is that when TNA did something similar like this before with AEW, or anytime I've seen something similar, I feel like it's an eye for an eye. If we're giving you the NXT tag titles, what are you giving us?
Cora Jade's winning the Knockouts Championship.
Hey, oh,
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral spray and serum treatments to find out what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's hims.com/fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Wouldn't you love to kick back with a great cigar, especially during that cool evening weather? It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch a game, or enjoy a nice evening outside. When it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is the go-to. They've got everything. Whether you're looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoint. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, the biggest selection, and they have unbeatable deals and discounts. And we've got one for you here. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. They've got fast shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders, $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hold on. At first, I was mad. But then I thought about who could win it in TNA. And I was like, you know what? Sometimes sacrifices have to be made.
Give me one person in TNA that should win the Knockouts Championship right now.
Okay. I can tell you who should.
There's also the Knockouts tag titles being pointed out in the chat. I get it. But like,
but does NXT have a tag team women's division? I don't watch NXT, so please educate me. This is no shade.
So the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships are floaters on all brands, and they have appeared on NXT as recently as a couple of weeks ago. Right now, it's Bianca and Naomi. They are Bianca Belair and Naomi are the tag team champions, the women's tag champions. They faced Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend a couple of weeks ago on NXT on a Tuesday night show. So it's not out of the realm of possibility to have the women's tag team champions on NXT, but they float across all brands.
If it was somebody else besides Bianca and Jade, I'd be like, maybe, but that'd be a cold day in hell. That's not happening. So I ask again, so you give up the digital media. I don't think TNA gonna give up the X division. I see TNA giving up the TNA heavyweight champion before they give up the X division. So what are we doing here?
Really? You think that? Okay, we'll see.
Respectfully, this is very much respectfully, but the X Division has so much prestige on it, just like for that being its own thing. Everyone's got their own world heavyweight champion, but the X Division is its very own thing, and that's like their baby. That's their thing. Who are you going to put it on? No, sir.
The X Division?
Yeah.
Like right now?
In NXT, who would you put that on?
I'm not doing NXT.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is up next.
That's what I'm trying to say. So what title? So we go back to the digital media championship. Like, what are we going to give NXT?
Well, I don't think it's going to be something. Well, hold on. MSK, this is why I go with MSK, is because Wentz has that WWE experience. They've been on NXT, and he used to work for as Nash Carter in NXT. Wes, if it's Wes and Wentz, sorry, I have to remember who's named who and what company they work for. If it's Wes and Wentz as MSK holding the tag titles, then you've got a TNA contracted performer and an NXT contracted performer working together as a tag team, and Trey, of course, is there as the third. So you're kind of doing it in a way that where everyone wins.
True. And I would guess, would you do tornado tag team rules with that then? Or would Trey always be a lovely third alternate?
Trey might just be like, I'm going to go after some other title while you guys do this.
The X Division.
Sure. They could do Trey going after the X Division, whether that's Leon Slater at this point or Moose, whoever's holding it at that point.
Leon Slater versus Trey Miguel with humperchats.com.
You could also do a North American Championship, you know, story with Trey Miguel. He's going after the North American title. Whoever's holding that, let them have a little bit of a thing. Maybe Trey doesn't win it, but he's still, you know, competitive. It's there.
And I think Trey is somebody who you could absolutely see on an NXT. I could see them being a tag team. All three of the Rascals, I think, is a fit for WWE and vice versa. So I would love for our Trey to be on WWE TV in some way, shape, or form, so more eyes could get on him as a performer, because he's fit. All three of those guys, they have like this, like your homeboys kind of feel. Like I love all three of them. So this is fantastic. And I feel like with Ace Austin in the fold with this as well, if once they have their match and you people get to see Ace Austin, because he's somebody else too, who I could absolutely see with a WWE presentation. And Chris Bay, I can't wait.
Let's talk about that. Getting your Humper Chats, getting your Super Chats. Let's talk about it. Chris Bay today on all of his socials posted for the first time since his injury that happened the night after Bound for Glory at the TV tapings. He is essentially, he's up and able to take some steps, which is a huge upgrade from where things started back in October when this all started. He sent a very heartfelt message thanking everyone, explaining why he hasn't replied, explaining what happened without going too far in depth, but essentially saying, I'm up, I'm alive, I'm working hard to just have a normal life again. And if I wrestle again, then I will. But right now, I don't think he's really worried about that. He's working on getting back to whatever normal is. This was really, really fantastic to see. Shout out to Chris Bay and to everyone who knows and loves him, because this was some really fun and exciting news to see from him this afternoon.
No, absolutely. AO Productions in chat says the same thing we were talking about earlier. I was like, I'm going to freaking cry, because it's like, we talk about wrestling in a kayfabe, jokey joke. These are characters. But when the real person behind the character gets hurt or something like that, you're just like, yo, hold on. And to see him, at least see him, you know what I mean, is heartwarming. I'm so happy for him, at least recovering. As a fan, you want the character to come back, but human to human, take as much time as you need. But I'm happy for him. I don't want to cry. I don't know how to put it into words. Like,
he's officially put it out that when the injury happened, he was rushed to surgery to fuse his C6 and C7 in his neck and a spinal cord fusion of C6 and T1. Said, if it weren't for TNA and their quick reaction to the accident, I may not be here today. They've been so helpful throughout this entire journey. And they continue to be. Again, they've got the support, Chris Bay, everywhere on their website and throughout the show. This has been a rallying moment for that roster, for Chris. And I think that that's one of the things that make TNA really special. And I talked to so many talent and staff about this on and off camera, that there is something in that locker room that keeps them and their morale very high. And something like this, you rally together. And at one point, Chris said he was given a 10 to 25% chance of walking. And the usage of his hands was also tough. And he said that's why he couldn't respond to people. He said he spent about a week in the ICU, 55 days in a rehab facility, spinal cord rehab facility in Detroit, doing therapy 6 days a week for 3 hours a day. Jesus. And then on December 28th, he was finally able to go home. So spent a lot of time in Detroit getting his work done. And it's good to know that he's back home and has been back home for over a month. He gives thanks to everyone. Again, go check it out. It's on all of his socials. He just says this will be the greatest story ever told, and he loves us all. So again, shout out Chris Bay. This was fantastic news to see.
Absolutely. Speedy recovery. Hopefully everything can go back to the way it was, but if not, you know, we're still pulling for you anyway, bro. Like, honestly, I wish you and your family nothing but the best, man.
Come back and win the NXT Tag Team Championships.
Honestly, truly. I'll do the Kendrick Lamar, right? And it's like, hey, bae, pull up, bae, pull up.
Oh, sending our love to him. Absolutely. Knockouts Championship on the line. Masha Slamovich defeats Savannah Evans. This was a fun match. It was Masha chopping down the Savannah Evans tree. Before we talk about the match, Masha Slamovich was actually on In the Weeds earlier this morning, talking about the JCW Jersey J Cup, not Jersey Jacob, but the Jersey J Cup. Talking about TNA and much, much more. Someone in our chat on In the Weeds was just like, oh, I thought you were talking about someone named Jersey Jacob. And I was like, I can understand that. No, Jacob, J-C-U-P. No, I don't want to do that. But yes, Masha was on the show. Go check that out. She talked about all that stuff and much more. She is still the JCW, Jersey Championship Wrestling champion, as she goes into the Jacob. And she is still the Knockouts champion as of tonight, defending against Savannah Evans. Good stuff. Masha gets the Requiem, gets the win. What'd you think?
I got gout in the beginning of this show, and I got gout again here. This was a meaty match. Now, normally, Masha is the girl who does the beating. Savannah Evans beat up Masha Slamovich. I clutched my pearls a little bit. Like, what is happening here? I was sports entertained. I love a good meaty match. It started in the beginning when Savannah, like, tail whipped. I don't know how else to describe it. Masha, like, get up off me. And then she slammed this girl on the apron and slammed her onto the floor. I think it was damn near Alabama slam onto the floor. I'm like, yo, it is very rare to see Masha just get flung around in any capacity. It's the same way I felt when I saw her do that to Jordynne Grace. Like, what are you doing? Stop it. I never see that. I would love to see this again. That's just me. That's just me. Because I like meat. And this was a meat match. So this match was fan. I was thoroughly sports entertained at Savannah Evans. And if this is what she did while she was away in the lab, I can't wait. Meat.
It was a good match. Solid stuff. A couple awkward camera cuts that gave me a little pause. But that's me. That's production Joel talking. Not Jersey Joel. We've decided that when we're talking about Jersey Jacob, it must be Jersey Jimmy Jacobs. Or Jersey Jacob Fatu.
You know, that's funny. Speaking of production really quickly, I converted one of my new friends, well, not a new friend, but a friend into the wrestling TNA fold. And they had a complaint about production and they sounded like Joel Pearl in that moment. I was like, how you just started watching wrestling?
Listen, like I said, this is never a slight on the production crew for TNA, because they make magic happen with a lot of shoestring budgets at their hands. They do a lot of good work. Do not get me wrong. I point it out when I see it, because I hope they see it and hopefully they find those little workarounds that allow them to do their job even better each time they see it.
Well, I will say this, TNA, you made a convert of my friend, because he's like, I don't know what's going on, but I'll watch again with you next week. It's like, yup.
Hey man, when it's good, it's good. Next week, they're live from Full Sail in Florida. Tyson and Tyreek take on the Rascals. No disqualification, JDC versus Leon Slater. And then Joe Hendry has another fucking concert.
I believe in Joe Hendry.
here's the thing. I like Joe Hendry. We've talked about this. I need something serious. I hope that this concert starts and it ends with him getting beat down mercilessly. This is the Jey Uso thing, right? Jey Uso comes out, won the Royal Rumble. And this past week on Raw, he comes out to do the yeet, and then he does the encore, and he goes up to the table, and Gunther beats the shit out of him. And it's perfect because everyone, when you do that and you do the encore, and you're like, are we going to do this every week until WrestleMania? No, they put an end to it perfectly. He had a celebration for a full week, and then Gunther took him out. This is what I want from the Joe Hendry concert. He does another concert. He does his lap, and someone beats the shit out of him and start a serious feud for your world title. You can do it. You have it in you. You got to try it with Joe Hendry. He's got to do something that actually cements him as more than the guy with a guitar who won a championship. Let's move forward.
I'm only going to disagree with you in the sense as someone who started watching wrestling where we were singing Shinsuke Nakamura's music for 40 seconds after that song, and then would sing Seth Rollins throughout the entire thing. Joe Hendry at least has words. We were doing it to Sami Zayn, and Joe Hendry at least got words. I agree with you with the Jey Uso thing, but this is me complaining about it. So I get where you're coming from. I do think that Joe Hendry is in a unique position where he's one of those wrestlers where it's like, you're so over, and I'm an apologist, so I'm going to put sugar on poop if that's what's happening right now. I don't care. I'm sorry for nothing. I think he's in a very unique position where it's like, this is fantastic. I do agree that something more serious needs to come along, but who? In TNA specifically, Mike Santana, I feel like Santana's got to win. You could do it with Moose if Moose gets deranged, but I feel like we've did that already, you know? So who?
Fuck it. Eddie Thorpe.
Who's that?
NXT Eddie Thorpe.
Okay.
Eddie's about to take on Trick Williams. They're going to have a strap match this Saturday at Vengeance Day. If you want the crossover, if Trick loses, I don't think Trick's losing. I actually think Eddie's going to win. I'm just putting out Eddie Thorpe. I don't think it's going to be him because the more I think about it, you don't want the loser from your strap match going up against the TNA World Champion while the winner potentially challenges the NXT World Champion or the NXT Champion. He's not the World Champion at the next, you know, NXT PLE, which is Stand and Deliver. Like you, well, it's Roadblock and then it's Stand. Anyway, you get my point.
Yeah.
The idea here is you don't want that. You know what? Fuck it. Ricky Starks shows up Tuesday, next Thursday, whatever it is.
Okay, but low-key, high-key, the promos between Ricky Starks and Joe Hendry would be sports entertainment. Would be sports entertainment.
Yep, it'd be a moment. I wouldn't be shocked. Maybe I would, actually. I just don't know who's going to go after him for sacrifice. It could be Eric Young. Should be Eric Young. He beat Josh Alexander in the main event.
Eric Young would beat the crap out of Joe Hendry. I saw Eric Young die.
That's true. Every time I talk about it, when he did the whole, like, I'm above the world championship, I'm above TNA, I'm above Anthem, I'm like, yeah, you are. You overcame a stabbing. You're one of the
ghosts.
Yeah.
That's why you're above it, because you're a ghost. You're a specter.
You're one of the few people who have overcome death in the TNA, and you came back. Of course, you're above all this. You are death.
new gimmick, Grim Reaper Eric Young.
That's what the mask is.
He's got paint. It's white now, but like Malachi Black's makeup is slowly going to get more black as the days progress.
That's Eric Young. But the problem is Eric Young said he's higher than the world championship. And I'm like, well, you can't really challenge for the world title after you've just said this. But who knows? Sometimes they do this shit. I don't know who goes after Joe Hendry. I don't. They have, after next week, they'll have a month to figure it out going into Sacrifice. But like nobody stands out.
Maybe an NXT person, because he did say from anywhere, anytime. And I would think, like you said, Eddie Thorpe, I don't know anyone from NXT. So I'm a jabroni when it comes to that aspect. So
I just, I'm racking my brain who in NXT would fit from at least their mid to upper card. And because the men's card is so thin in NXT, there are very few options.
Tommaso Ciampa.
No, Ciampa's on the main roster. He's DIY. He's a tag team champion.
Oh, I thought, I don't know what I thought, actually.
Fine. You just had a brain fart to like 5 years back.
Yeah. I don't.
And even then, in 2 months, 5 years back, 2 months from now, he's about to be called up to the main roster randomly. So what are we doing?
The first time or the second time?
Yes. So I don't know. I don't know who fits other than, like, again, Eddie Thorpe, Ricky Starks. But do you want to get Ricky right in there for that? He's not going to win. Like, he shouldn't win unless they wonk the finish. I don't know who his next challenger is.
JBL. That's how you...
You suck. Someone's saying Ridge Holland. Ridge Holland just lost an NXT North American Championship match. Like, I just... We're going to... Because we have a moment. We're actually going to go an hour tonight. That's shocking. Let's take a look at the roster, which, like, is so unbearable when it comes to TNA because it's not up to date. They're not going to do AJ Francis again. Okay, not going to do Brian Myers. Who makes sense? Like, Eric Young is the first one. Frankie could cash in, call his shot by calling his shot there for a match.
I'm going to say something that may be controversial, but I could see it happening. Sure. You could pull in a Bully Ray.
Oh, please don't.
I know. Listen, AAO, Violent by Design 2.0 is already back.
Do you do Ryan Nemeth? Because Nick is... Oh, my God. It's Ryan Nemeth. Because Nick got kicked out for 4 weeks, so you can't just keep both of them off. So how do you want to get paid? Oh, it's gonna be Ryan Nemeth.
My brother would let me have this match, and my brother was John Majo Henry.
But we also just did it. But we just did this, so I don't know if that's the answer. I don't know who fits. Edward Edwards? That would be a fun match.
But I feel like if you fight anyone in the system, you have to fight everyone in the system.
Yeah.
And didn't we do that with Joe Hendry in the system?
Yeah, we did. We also did it with Santana. I don't know. And also the roster feels thin. It's not going to be Cardona again. It's not going to be Ali. Not going to be Mance Warner.
It won't be. Crazy Steve is out, right?
Crazy Steve is done. Which for some reason is still on the website. So there's that. Again, the TNA is not like AEW where it's like they keep their roster page updated all the time. I don't know who it is. It feels like it should be someone from outside. It should be someone from NXT at this point. Someone's saying Lexus King. He's got the stupid Heritage Cup. I really don't think they should.
I mean, but he did just beat JDC.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know. I'd sooner do another AJ Francis match.
You could do Casey Navarro.
You could.
You could do them both. You could do that and say, well, Casey, you already did, but then when Casey can't get it done, let me step in and do my thing.
We've been down that road so many times, though, over the years with Joe Hendry and First Class.
I see the Trick Williams shout. I don't think, because in that, I feel like you book yourself into a corner. Do you book Trick Williams to lose to Joe Hendry? It's not bad, but also that's Trick Williams. Like, Trick Williams is one of your stars. You know what I mean? Like,
Trick's going to win that strap match, and Trick's going to go to Roadblock, probably have a match against Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks is probably going to lose his first official big match. Trick's going to go on to face Obafemi at Stand and Deliver. That's kind of the trajectory that I see for him. Lexus, I don't know. Oh, Javon Evans is a good shout. I don't know if they want to have him lose like that because he always does, and he's about to beat, well, maybe not, but he's about to have a match with Ethan Page.
What about FBI? Wait.
You're talking Tony D?
Yeah.
Tony D'Angelo is the NXT North American champion. I don't want to see two meme wrestlers go at it.
Wasn't he with a family? Did I make that up?
So the FBI, though, you're thinking is the full-blooded Italians. They work together, but like that's an ECW stable. But now they're basically ripped off, and yeah, that's the family. The family.
Time is melding together. I could have swore they were called FBI.
Charlie Dempsey's an idea. Again, I don't know. It's got to be someone big enough, but like not. It doesn't have to be too big because it's a plus special. I just want something intense for Joe Hendry. Sure, I don't care. I don't care who, just somebody.
Ruin that man's life, put him against Kevin Owens.
Sean Spears is probably going to be going after the North American Championship next against Tony D'Angelo. Sean Spears.
Sean Spears, this guy?
Yeah, that guy.
Wait, when
He jumped like a year ago.
Y'all, I swear to God, I watch wrestling, but I swear to God, I don't watch wrestling. What?
You cover Collision. Have you never thought to yourself once, wow, where'd the 10 guy go?
I know he's been gone, but I didn't know he was in NXT.
Yeah, he joined NXT pretty quickly. We even had his first interview up on this channel when he jumped.
Bro.
Gress the Star,
I'm a fraud. I don't watch wrestling at all. I don't even know how I got this job.
Josh Alexander had his last match in TNA for the time being. He got beat by Eric Young. It was an intense start. Eric Young was wearing his Montreal Canadiens gear. Northern Armory keeps getting involved. Daniel Spencer gets too busy throughout the match. He's having a chat with Eric Young, misses Northern Armory, going after Josh Alexander. Josh Alexander hits the Styles Clash. Everyone noticed that. Don't you worry. Top rope pile driver tease was wild, and then Alexander turns that into an ankle lock. Then he turns it into a sharpshooter. But by the end of it, it doesn't matter. Once again, Daniel Spencer gets distracted by the ref. He is the referee. Daniel Spencer, he gets distracted. Judas Icarus tosses the mask to Young, who knocks out Alexander, hits a pile driver, and the win. The referees are awful in this company.
In Daniel Spencer's defense, if I saw the ghost inspector of Eric Young, I too would be sports scared.
But he's not scared. He's just distracted.
I have one HP as a ref. And this Spectre, he's literally the big boo from Super Mario. I'm scared.
Damn shiny objects all the time. You also see Frank Gastineau doing that shit.
At the end of the day, I will defend Daniel Spencer here. If I saw the Spectre of Eric Young, I'd be like, hey, oh, hey, I don't know what he's doing. Hey, I'm scared. It's a ghost. He's wrestling.
This is a really good match. Shout out to both Eric Young and Josh Alexander. I know this was a very emotional moment for Josh. He's posted basically his whole history of in TNA and his love for it over on socials. Go check that out. But I think this was the right way to go if you are Josh Alexander. And if you're TNA, there was a lot of respect there. Eric Young is the perfect opponent. Again, Eric Young is TNA in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. This was a fantastic match and just a good storytelling device. I do, again, wonder what the original story would have been with Sinner and Saint and Josh Alexander. Had Josh stuck around, or had they prolonged the story a little further? But instead, Sinner and Saint are going to work with Eric Young, which to me, just as good. What do you think of this match with Young and Alexander?
I will say part of the reason why I'm such a huge fan of TNA is Josh Alexander. My only critique wish is that I wish this would have happened on a pay-per-view. I can understand why it wouldn't. Josh Alexander is so fantastic. I wish him the best no matter where he goes. And I've heard that the best way to go out is looking up at the lights. So it makes sense. And I feel like the heart and soul of TNA, you pass that torch on to Mike Santana, who I think is perfect to fill that slot. But you still got some lifeblood beating with Eric Young. And what a way of respect, because of all the people you could have chose to do that and work it out with, you chose Eric Young. And I think that's a big Canadian respect to Canadian. They're both Canadian, right?
You bet.
Okay, work. Because I feel like I know someone in that Canadian fold is not actually from Canada, but they rep Canada, and I don't know who. So.
No, they're all four of those men that were in the ring tonight, or out of the ring, are Canadian.
Fantastic. Shout out to, Canada.
Nice try.
Listen.
Technically, now you're banned from the country for 5 years, so have fun with that.
Nah. I'm trying to pull up. Listen, America's real spooky right now. Canada. I'm trying to pull up.
Well, start learning the history of Canada.
Listen, moose and squirrel. Nah, I'm already banned.
It's over. I'm sorry. Can't come in. Just can't bring you in now. We just had a massive snowstorm, so I can't do much here.
I'll shovel snow if you let me in. I'll shovel my way.
You know what? Honestly, if you had come in yesterday with that, people would have been like, yeah, we could use a guy. Let's go.
Y'all got a lot of ADHD. Let me do it. I'll do your whole block.
Looking out the window, it looks like things have been cleaned up around here.
Easy. If you're trying to adopt Crest the Star, you live in Canada or Europe, please hit my DFs.
Or Europe, this woman. Or Australia. It's beautiful this time of year.
Yeah, but Australia is the PvP zone. Have you seen the size of their spiders?
Oh, that's what you're worried about? Not the ozone? It was hella hot yesterday in that country. My God. Someone asking, is this on every week after Impact? Yes, we are live. We do a post show for every show that is available in the professional wrestling world. Typically, ROH pro show would be before this one, but they're cowards this week. They're on a boat or something. We do a Raw post show, a SmackDown post show, an NXT post show. We do the Dynamite post show. There's a Collision post show with the woman who's next to me over there and two others. Sometimes two, sometimes it's one. I don't know. She's there. There's every night. Every night there's a post show. We drop interviews all the time. Welcome to the channel if you haven't seen us yet. But yes, we are your TNA people, myself and Cresta Star. We do it every single Thursday night. This is a good segue to get us out of here because we did an hour. We did our contractual obligated amount. My God, big week next week, live episode of Impact. More people are going to tune in. More people are going to be here. Tell your friends about Fightful. Tell them about Fightful Select, the best $6 in the business. Get your news. Get it right. Get it right now. FightfulSelect.com. Cresta, what else has got going on?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, my name is Cresta Star. Cresta Star with two R's because I'm a pirate and I want an extra one. I just dropped my podcast, Slap Grapple Pop. You can find that over on my YouTube, Cresta Star on YouTube, and anywhere you can type Cresta Star on the social media machines, except for X, where it's Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion. So go ahead and follow me. Let's talk about professional wrestling. I'm live here every Thursday and Saturdays for the TNA post show and the AEW Collision post show, respectively. This Saturday, we will be live after the NBA game. So after the NBA game, there's Collision. So once Collision is ended, we'll be live. And I don't know what time that'll be. Unless it's some absurd time, like 3-4 in the morning, then see you next week. See you next Tuesday. Outside of that, follow me on social media. I stream live Wednesdays on Twitch. Joe Pearl, where can the people find you?
First of all, everyone go check out everything Cress is doing because it's fun. It's original. It's good. If you haven't, what's wrong with you? This woman is fantastic. Shout out to you, Cresta Star. Make my life easy, would you? We're here every Thursday night covering TNA Impact. Like I said, post shows every single night. If it's not Sean Ross Sapp, then it's a whole plethora of personalities here on Fightful. Go find them. Go show them some love. Don't be weird to them. If you're weird to them, we're just not going to interact. But we like the ones who are nice to us, so thank you for hanging out with us. I'm in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but it's actually now 5 days a week. In the Weeds is our morning show over on Fightful Overbooked. That's our sister channel. Go find it. Go subscribe to it. Myself and Jeremy Lambert, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's SB3 and Jeremy Lambert talking about the world of professional styles of wrestling and beyond. Sometimes they talk more. Sometimes they talk less. Come and join us. We're there. But for now, I'm at Joel Pearl at thejoelpearl.com on Blue Sky. It's still a mouthful. For Cresta Star, ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.